Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. This is Robert Moss. This is the show where we affirm and celebrate the power of dreams, coincidence, and imagination to fill our lives with everyday magic, juice, joy, and creativity. Speaking of creativity, one of the most creative and joyous dreamers I know is Adelita Chirino, who is my guest today. She's one of the first graduates of all three levels of my training for teachers of active dreaming. She's a jewelry designer. She is co-producer of, so I must say immodestly, my wonderful video series, The Way of the Dreamer, which you can find now as a digital download from Psyche Productions. Adelita might give us the correct website address for that. And also, by the way, again, to be a little bit pushy, they also made a CD, now available as a digital download also, of my drumming for Shamanic Dream Traveler's Wings for the Journey. And I've done many things with Adelita over the years, haven't talked for a while, so I'm really juiced and happy to be on the air with you right now. Adelita, bienvenido.
Muchas gracias, Robert. What a pleasure to be talking to you about my favorite subject, active dreaming.
Yes, well, we're just here to have fun today. That's all we're going to do. We're just going to play and inspire people to think about how playful they can be when they become active dreamers in the sense that you and I understand the word. Let me just say for people who are not yet, Shane, fully familiar with the term active dreaming, the phrase is a provocation. It's meant to say you can get active about dreaming. You get active about entering the dream space in the way of the shaman, for example, by journeying. You can get active in the sense of carrying your dreams into community and doing something creative with them. So active dreaming is the phrase that defines a new approach to this stuff. It's not your fuddy-duddy grandfather's or great-grandfather's Freudian shrink-centered dream analysis, dream interpretation. It's about life, it's about action, it's about creativity. And active dreaming as an approach to things has three main aspects. Adelita understands this well. In a moment, I'm going to ask her what she most enjoys about living and teaching and sharing the gifts of active dreaming. The three main modes of active dreaming, let us say, are these. First of all, it's a way of talking about your dreams of night and your dreams of life, and walking this stuff, taking some action. So we have a fun method called the Lightning Dreamwork Technique to help each other share our stuff, get non-intrusive, non-authoritarian feedback, and be guided towards action. We can use that any day. That's one of the facets of becoming an active dreamer in terms of doing more with your dreams, whether your dreams are night or your visions of life. The second main mode of active dreaming is we are shamanic lucid dreamers. I mean, lucid dreaming's become a buzzword again. It comes and goes, the buzzword again. Well, didn't like it when it first came out. It seemed to imply you should try to control your dream space and your dream source, but the discussion's matured, so I'm happy to use it to a certain extent. We learn the easy and fun and most powerful ways of becoming, let's say, lucid dreamers. We learn to travel like shamans with the help of the drum, perhaps, with the help of shamanic journeying, to go to really interesting places using the portals of our personal dreams as gateways. We learn to hang out in the liminal space between sleep and awake, many other techniques of becoming lucid dreamers. And finally, for now, the third mode of active dreaming is we learn to look for dreamlike symbols and signs in the world around us. So we learn to navigate by synchronicity, the theme of my last book, Sidewalk Oracles. So, Adelita, you had to put up with me talking a bit about things that both of us love, but you've put up with that before. Tell me what you most enjoy about this approach, you know, in your life, in your practice, in your sharing, in your own creativity, because you're a wonderful artist, jewelry designer, and that much else.
Thank you. Yes, you know, Robert, from the beginning when I started working with you, one of the things that I valued most highly is how you expanded through active dreaming our relationship to dreaming. Having been trained as a psychotherapist, I'm very familiar with the analytical approach, the interpretive approach, the psychological approach, which you also uphold in the model that you've created, that dreams hold up a mirror to who we are. They help us understand our emotional relationships to others, as well as give us a sense of what issues we need to stop running away from and deal with in order to grow personally. But, you know, that's what most people go to when they think about meaning in dreams. They think about interpretation. They think about how it applies to them in terms of personal development. And that's wonderful, and that's very helpful. But the two aspects that you then added and really, I think, exploded the possibilities of having a relationship with dreams that is vibrant and much more alive is adding the understanding that dreams can also have literal interpretation. We're all psychic in our dreams. We dream the future all the time. And I've seen this again and again working with people, that people have dreamt the future. They just disregard it because they disregard the dream, or they feel that it can't possibly be true, or just feel a little bit perhaps freaked out by it. And yet the more we pay attention to dreams, the more we realize that the literal possibility of working, of learning from our dreams something that can be useful, that can actually either help us deal with something that's coming up or prevent entirely a negative event that might be coming up. So
right.
The idea that dreams can be literal as well. But
right.
Then my
well,
very
said.
Favorite is
yeah.
the idea that dreams are experiential, and
yeah.
that we actually have experiences, go places, meet characters in our dreams that are not just about our waking reality, but that invite us to explore other dimensions, other realities, and perhaps realities that we'll be returning to once we shuffle off this mortal coil. So for me, that is the most exciting aspect. And again, when through presenting that idea to people, I see it open up the possibility of their relationship to dreams. I think it's incredibly exciting that we have the ability to not just understand our dreams, but to live them and to learn from living them the way we learn from living our waking life.
Well said. Elegantly said. Thank you, Adelina. Yeah, I mean, dreams are symbolic. Certainly, life is symbolic if we want to live it that way. I'm actually more of a symbolist about everyday life than I am about dreams.
Right.
I'm pretty much a literalist about dreams. When I look at my own dreams, my first gravitation is to think, well, what, where, who, when? Is this happening? Is this going to happen sometime in the future? Or, as you taught us to think about, is it going on some other reality? Or will it go on some other reality? So I look at dreams very often not simply as symbolic events, but as literal experiences, in the sense that they are happening now in this world or could happen in the future, and or as fairly literal experiences of something going on in another order of reality, arguably no less real than this world. And, you know, even Western psychology, even when it values dreams, has largely misdirected us from this understanding, which is very primal and primeval. This is the old Paleolithic understanding. You know, you go to a traditional Aborigine. I grew up in Australia, though I don't know Aborigines well, but I've learned a bit of them from them, and I've got a bit by osmosis. You go to a traditional Aborigine in the Western Desert, for example, and you tell a dream, and the first questions that come up, never to be asked the way we ask questions in the West, of course, first questions are, well, what, where, who, when? Who were you with? Where did you go? When
uh-huh.
was it? Be very literal. It was a real experience. So let's look at it that way. Something else in what you say is also something we feature. I mean, dreams are multi-layered. They're multiple aspects of interpretation or analysis or exploration, and a dream can be both subjective and objective, personal and transpersonal. We want to be open to all the gradations of possibility in looking at a dream. And beyond all that, whatever our understanding of of dreams or our theory or our practice, we want to learn to talk to each other without telling each other what dreams or life means, right? We don't go around forever laying down the law to each other saying, your dream means such and such. You dreamed about water, it's because of, you know, you're in the soup or your emotions are rather swamping you or something else, or because you're going to go dive too deep in the ocean. We don't want to tell each other what dreams or life means. We want to goad each other to deeper understanding. So in our practice, what I have called the lightning dream work is absolutely fundamental. We learn, whatever our point of view, that we have a nice and effective way, a mutually empowering way of talking to each other about dreams of the night or dreams of life that will goad and guide the dreamer herself towards self-understanding. At the end of the day, what matters is not whether someone else can tell you the meaning of your dream or your life. What matters is you become the author of meaning for your dream and your life, right? So this is an approach that is inherently democratic with a very small and very active D and mutually empowering.
Absolutely. And the other thing, when you ask me about what I value most in this approach, is especially lately, I've had so many instances where someone shares with me the loss of a loved one. Someone has crossed over and their sorrow and their sense of disconnection, and to be able, you know, active dreaming not only helps you to live your life creatively, but also to create a path to your crossing in a creative way and to stay connected. I think that is one of the most valuable gifts that we have, you know, that we remain connected. We have this sort of spiritual umbilical cord to...
Well, you just put your finger on one of the essential reasons for dreaming. This has always been understood. And I would say in my life, all of my life, the number one reason why people have chosen to tell dreams to me outside workshops has been their dream of someone who has died. The experience seems real. It feels transpersonal. It may be very moving. It may sometimes be very challenging. It may sometimes be unwanted. It may sometimes be something that has been yearned for. But whatever the feelings around it, they want to know, is this for real? Can I have confirmation? What am I supposed to do about it? And I would say that, you know, dreams of our departed, dreams of our deceased, are the principal way that we have learned that something survives physical death. And I'm talking now about all the millennia our kind have been on the planet. Mm-hmm. Dreaming has been the principal way that we have learned that soul, mind, consciousness survives the death of the physical body, because we receive visitations from people who are no longer in this world and we travel to them, again, in our dreams. That's the principal way we know, in this abiding belief, abiding conviction of humanity, that there is something of us, something essential of us, that survives the death of the body. So this could not be more important. As a matter of fact, I'm in the midst, as you probably know, of leading another of my online, wildly popular online courses, the Shift Network, called Shamanic Approaches to Death, Dying, and the Afterlife. And the reports that are coming in, the current reports that I'm looking at, I mean hundreds of them, of encounters with the deceased in dreams, are incredibly moving, they're thrilling, they're sometimes challenging, they're sometimes gut-wrenching for people who are going through something that needs to be resolved. But by and large, they're beautiful, healing, and resolving. I think they're dreams that bring resolution, forgiveness, and healing. And they bring, above all, if people stay with them, as my people tend to do and your people tend to do, above all, such dreams bring us the courage and clarity that comes from understanding that our current life entertainments and activities, whether they're successful or not, are not the end of our stories. Our stories continue somewhere else. We'd better keep that in mind, whatever we think we're doing right here. And it's very salutary. It's very liberating for life to remember that. You know, it's not just now. There's another now. And so on. Actually, Adelita, you might enjoy this. I was on a TV thing yesterday, and the host began by saying, well, what is your shamanic understanding of the afterlife? And I said to her, you know, my shamanic understanding of the afterlife is that I and you are in the afterlife right now. We died to something before we came here. We died to another world. And we're in between worlds now. So now, from a certain point of view, we're in the afterlife right now. This led to a long pause and then a sort of explosion of recognition and a very interesting conversation. So there's that as well.
And another dimension in that, especially as going into, you know, the golden years, as we quote-unquote call them. And I find again and again that people feel that they're winding down, that, you know, they're getting to the end, and they start feeling a loss of energy, feeling a loss of hope sometimes. But the perspective that you just mentioned, that, you know, we're in between lives now and that we're going to other dimensions, helps people realize that, you know, there's no end to this, so why don't I just keep focusing on what I want to accomplish, not just now, but when I cross over. I had a wonderful dream that I call Dream My Death Journey, as I want it to be. And in the dream, it was probably lucid, I have a vision that shows me that I can design my own death journey. That if I do, that's exactly how my death journey will go. And at the beginning of that death journey, I see this beautiful woman who's going to be my guide and my facilitator. And I woke up from that with this wonderful sense of possibility and immediately went back into my dream to create the scenario that I want to see happen, which involves lots of lukumi drumming and, you know, dancing. When I speak to people about this, not only in, like, people who are older, to give them a sense that there's nothing to look back about, you just keep looking forward, just keep creating, just know that you will continue in, and especially if your intention is strong, in the vein that you want to continue in. And the transformation in people.
Yeah, I love that last thought. So, but let's just stay with the dream for a moment. You say that in the original dream, you'd created a business devoted to helping people. Is that right?
No, in the original dream, I had a vision.
Uh-huh.
I had a vision that...
Did it involve creating a business to do with it?
No, but it's a good idea.
Well, I thought somewhere, maybe I'm dreaming within your dream, Adelita, but somewhere I thought I heard you talk about you creating or someone creating a business to provide, let's say, destination packages for the afterlife. That would be an excellent idea. You know, you'd probably get a lot of people for that. Probably be all over the world.
That.
I mean,
it's
people
awesome.
Do like to think that they've got some clue about what they're doing. People like to have the right address. They like to have their own, you know, TripAdvisor kind of comments on what happens if you follow a particular track. In fact, we have so many analogies in the modern online travel business for what this might be like. I mean, and, you know, for all of our history, I mean, people getting ready for death who realize it might be a good idea to be ready, in addition to thinking about whether you've done the things you should have done on this side, like to have some clues, I mean, some roadmaps, some map quests, some kind of GPS that might operate on the other side, or at least a good contact, a phone number, you know, an address you could check out. So, you know, a business that was offering, you know, travel packages or at least TripAdvisor type reports on what happens if you follow a certain path might do very well. You know, I'm a student of many cultures and of human history, as you know, and I've looked at so many different roadmaps for the afterlife from different traditions. But my favorite idea is one that I read about from the island of Puka Puka, which is in the South Pacific. And apparently on the island of Puka Puka, they say there are as many afterlife situations as their human imagination. I love that idea. Of
right.
course, as we see in our regular world, there are many people who troop around without much imagination. I travel a lot and I see groups of tourists marching along behind a sock or an umbrella or something like that, held up by a tour guide, not seeing anything except what the tour guide points out. So some of us go into the afterlife like that just as we are in this world. But as you said, to paraphrase you, I mean, what we find on the other side is very related to what we're able to find or not find on this side, and to what we hope and desire for on this side. That will carry on. That doesn't change all at once. And we learn more about this, you know, through these techniques of active dreaming that you and I practice and teach. So we're talking with Adelita Chirino. Adelita, just give us the website for Psyche Productions.
Yes, it's Psyche Productions, so PSYCHE, productions.net. Anything.
Okay, well, that's important to you and me and to everybody listening, because from psycheproductions.net, you can get now the digital download of my video series, The Way of the Dream, which Adelita and her husband Jim produced with me some years ago. It's still a very powerful demonstration as well as exegesis of what active dreaming is all about. You'll get to learn about dreaming with the departed, which you're talking about at the moment. You'll learn how to see into the future in your dreams. You'll learn that you're a psychic in your dreams and that your ability to work with such dreams is part of your human survival kit. You'll learn all sorts of creative games to play and so on. And Psyche Productions is also the creator of my drumming CD, now a digital download also. Travelers who want to use the shaman's road of drumming and want to be helped safely, for example, to travel to the places that Adelita and I are talking about, maybe to travel through the doorway of a remembered dream, make that a portal for adventure and then be brought safely home. So those products are available from psycheproductions.net, and I can't recommend anybody else's drumming tape anymore since I've made my own. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with Adelita to talk more about the play and the pleasure and the fun of being an active dreamer in your current life.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
My wonderful guest is Adelita Chirino, a teacher of active dreaming, artist, psychotherapist, a creative person, the co-producer of my Way of the Dreamer video series. Adelita, we were just talking during the break about dreaming with kids, and this is such a vitally important subject. There isn't much that's really good about it at the moment. Of course, there's stories that involve dreaming for kids. But I can't think of one, you know, full-fledged book or video production on dreaming with children that I could endorse wholeheartedly. I put a couple of pretty good chapters about this in my book Active Dreaming for those who are interested, one of which is titled Punch a Hole in the World, from the title of Visionary Experiences my youngest daughter reported to me when she was 4 years old. You have a great interest in this, so do I. I just posted a piece, well, recently posted a piece on the Robert Moss blog titled something like How to Handle a Giant People-Eating Goat.
Mm-hmm.
making a children's book out of a terrifying dream. It's something that came to me when I was teaching in Prague a week or so ago, and one of our teachers of active dreaming in the making there actually brought to us this beautiful book, She's a librarian, so she knew how to bind it, make it a book, with pictures by her six-year-old and text she'd helped to write. And the story is that the child had a terrible dream about a horrible people-eating goat that grows as big as a mountain and won't stop eating people, and she's horrified by it, and the mother talks to her about it and understands that the child is very brave, as she says. She'll deal with this when she wants to, and a couple of days later, the child comes back and starts a conversation, and the mother suggests, okay, why don't, you know, we make a story out of this? Why don't you make a story? Why don't you see what's going on with the goat and why the goat is eating people? So the child, in a sense, starts, you know, talking to the people-eating goat, and the people-eating goat reveals that it's eating people because it's so unhappy with itself, because it's so big and doesn't fit in and has to do something. Anyway, the long and short of the story is that it becomes an incredible creative exercise out of a terrifying dream, never resolved in the sense, actually, of going back inside the dream of the drumming or something, but resolved through creative imagination and dreaming it onward that way. The terrible initial dream is turned into creative production, at the end of which there is no problem. The goat has been restored to normal size. All is well. There are no more nightmares. A creative resolution was found. You and I understand that when a kid is having difficulty with dreams, or when a kid is simply talking about dreams or stories, adults have three immediate responsibilities. The first is to listen up, not interpret, not analyze, not get on the cell phone, but listen. The second is to give immediate help with the scary stuff. That might be simple as a hug. It might be as slightly simple as appointing a stuffed toy to be guardian of the night for that kid. And the third is to help provide a means of creative expression. I will never forget the wonderful day you and I shared with a group of at-risk kids in an inner-city situation, where you were helping them to use art to express their dreams, and we were helping them to use theater and performance to express their dreams, and great things were absolutely pulsing.
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned about the lightning dream work process as one of the tools of active dreaming, and I'm sure you've spoken of and taught the dream reentry process on this show, where you go back and journey. And also the dream theater, where we act out dreams. And one time I was with a group of graduate students, but one of the mothers had to bring her seven-year-old to the class because her babysitter ran out on her. So she was going to have the little girl sit in the corner and draw, but we were doing the circle, and I knew we were going to do dream theater, so I invited the child to join us. And we ended up doing her dream, which similarly was about all these ghosts in a warehouse. It sounded very frightening to begin with, but here she is, 7 years old, with like all adults the rest in the room, and she cast all the characters and she directed all the action. We had such fun, which is one of the principal, I think, hallmarks of active dreaming, how much fun it can be. And at the end of it, that what sounded, especially to the grown-ups, these scary ghosts, just like in your story, became completely manageable to her. She had figured out where they belonged and how she could make sure that they stayed there, and also had a wonderful time herself instead of just sitting there and drawing and waiting for mommy to finish. So it illustrates how there's no, you know, how many dream approaches can you actually use with children? They're so laden with intellectual formulas and theories and having to interpret, understand, or whatever, whereas active dreaming is so experiential. I love it, and you can use it from the time a 5, 6, 7-year-old right up to, you know, 97, whatever. There's
As your story of the seven-year-old who didn't have a babysitter illustrates, I mean, if we have the privilege of being present to young children talking their dreams and stories, we should listen up because they're the masters of this stuff. They're closer to the dream time than most adults. They just come out of it if they're very small. If their imaginations haven't been crushed and reshaped and trammeled by adult thoughts and thinking and reductionism, I mean, they're great teachers. Another experience I had in my recent travels in Europe was in Estonia. I went to an Estonian family for a traditional Estonian dinner in the midst of my workshopping. And the nine-year-old son, he's nine, comes up to me after dinner. He says, Robert, can I tell you the dream where a wizard showed me three ways to time travel and a way to change worlds? I said, yes, I think you'd better tell me that dream immediately. He embarks upon this incredible adventure. Part of it is influenced by his love of, you know, virtual reality gaming and online gaming, this kind of thing. Then you can see that. You don't recognize the characters because you don't do that yourself. But in it is the primal imagination of the kid working with primal materials, which is sometimes missing from adult experience because we get ourselves into such limited boxes. So, again, that's one of the key things about helping kids with dreams and imagination. It starts with simply listening to what's going on and not judging and not interpreting and not analyzing, and then being ready, as I said, to help with the scary stuff, but above all by being present yourself as an ally and the kind of friend who's never going to say, go away, it's just a dream, and then helping them to find a creative way to express what's been going on.
And what are we teaching children when we do that? It's not saying to them, oh, don't worry, it's just a dream. What we're saying is, here, let's figure out action ways that we can make sure you're safe, and also that you can determine what to do with this. So whether it's through drawing or theater or acting something out or creating. One time I worked with a mom whose child was having nightmares, and we redecorated the room and used lots of different symbols from a dream catcher to action heroes to create a sense of safety that, and then allow that child to face whatever the child was facing in the dreams, but with a sense of all the help that he could take in there with him. So we teach children to be able to choose, to be able to face situations and build their courage, build their imagination, and creativity. I think it's just a very powerful, rather than to say either it's just a dream or try to figure out what could this possibly mean, which has little application.
Oh, yes, and so educational for adults, too. I mean, I run into so many adults who, whatever they think they're doing in regular life, are gutless wimps when it comes to what's going on in their dreams, forever slamming the door on dreams, leaving them as broken dreams or nightmares because they don't want to face what the dream is giving them. I mean, young children with a little bit of encouragement can learn and sometimes teach themselves and teach us to face up to those challenges inside the dream space. Then, of course, the adult can learn to do the same kind of thing. We're talking to Adelita Chirino. We're talking about the creative gifts of active dreaming. When we come back, we'll see whether Adelita has a dream or a synchronicity or something that order that she'd like to share, in addition to the wonderful one about creating kind of destination travel to the afterlife. That's my paraphrase that she shared earlier. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Do check out my website, mossdreams.com. We have a skeleton schedule of all the events I'm leading over the next year. There are a lot of them all over the world map. Go take a look. Maybe you don't want to just hear about this. Maybe you want to jump in the deep end and see what happens. We'll be back after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. mossdreams.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
All right, our wonderful guest is Adelita Chirino. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer, the radio show with Robert Moss. I think Adelita, who is a teacher of Active Dreaming, is getting ready to tell me a dream. We'll see where that takes us. You ready, Adelita?
Yes, I am, Robert. And to commemorate that I would be speaking to you, I asked for a dream that I might share. I was very surprised by the one I got, but I called it Create the Moment.
Mm.
And I'm in this beautiful outdoor setting, very lush, very green, although my attention is focused inwardly because I'm being coached by an inner knowing, I called it, to experience the moment as it's being created by me, as I experience it, the opposite of just letting it happen. And I'm being taught to participate in the flow of time very differently than what it feels like in waking life. And a very strong sense that moment by moment, as I create it, the difference is very subtle, but it's a very large difference. I'm aware of it in my dream. To focus on this subtlety of the difference between just letting it happen and making it happen. So I come back from this dream with a sense of awe, an understanding that I've been taught something. So I call it a kind of teaching dream, but that I'm being shown something that's very critical for me to understand, and that it's a difficult thing to grasp and obviously even to articulate, this sense of putting in intent, putting in effort every moment as I go.
Is the word effort, is that the right word for what you're describing? Or is it rather the release of effort?
Yeah, that's probably true. I think it's intent more than anything, or attention.
So let me, you've talked a little bit about your feelings and your thoughts around this. Let's just follow the rest of our process. Are there moments in your life that you recognize when you are in a state like this? Whatever the answer to that is, could you find yourself in a state like this in the future?
I think I have to find myself.
Yes, it sounds alluring.
I think it's the challenge.
But let me pursue the first part of the question. Is it a state that you recognize from your past life or your present life, or is it something you're aspiring to, or both?
Perhaps both. I think that it's a bit of the antidote to the way life can take us in this waking physical reality right now, where things just seem to happen to us all the time,
mm-hmm.
or we think that that's the case.
Mm.
And the difference between being in an attitude of creativity, of creating what happens.
I don't want to put words in your mouth or apply my projections without great care, but let me just ask you a question or two before we go to the effort or my dream. Is this something like what it means to be in the zone? I mean, you know that phrase. Is that
yes.
something like what it's about?
Yes, absolutely it is. I mean, that was the feeling in the dream. So much so that even though I was aware of these beautiful surroundings, I was so focused on what was happening that, you know, that was definitely a sense of flow.
It's a very intriguing and powerful and simple but mysterious dream. What do you want to know? Where's your curiosity?
The curiosity for me is in what's the difference? What's the difference in terms of, okay, I have these intentions and I'm going to make them happen? I think you sort of hit on it when you said, is effort really the right word? The difference between that sense of being in my head and making it happen versus allowing, having that feeling again. How do I come to experience that feeling in my waking life that I can almost
well, like back. You, if it's my dream, it reminds me of the place where I want to be. I think I've been in a place like this. I think my happiest moments have been in places like this. And if I'm right in those associations, I know this. I can't plan or program these things. I mean, I can't set them up. I mean, I might be able to get myself going in some way. I mean, one of the ways to get creative is to do what Pegasus did with the Spring of the Muses. You know, people forget this story, but the Muses, the Spring of the Muses, the Spring of Inspiration, is caused by Pegasus, the flying horse, stamping his hooves so hard on Mount Helicon that it bursts and out comes the spring from under the rock. That is very different from what you're talking about, but that is sometimes what the creative or the productive effort might require. This is completely different. This is somehow getting yourself into the zone, into a place of relaxed attention or attentive relaxation, which things move much more spontaneously and much more easily, and time perhaps is found to be elastic. And I've been in that space, and so have other people in any walk of life. Athletes are in that space sometimes when they find themselves in the zone and it seems as if the basketball cannot possibly miss the hoop because it's moving so darn slowly that everything's been slowed down, and the writer finds it, or the artist finds it, when you discover that you can do in 10 minutes what you couldn't normally do in 10 hours. I mean, I've been in that state. You're making me very nostalgic for what it's like to be in that state. And, I mean, one thing I know about this is that it's mysterious. The way this works is mysterious. I can't tell you how to get there. I can't tell myself how to get there exactly. I know what it's like to be there, but if I've dreamed about that, particularly in response to an intention to get guidance for a dream to bring to Robert in the context of a discussion in active dreaming, then I suspect that our active dreaming methods of work and play are going to help put me in that most desirable space. So to finish our short process, Adelita, is there some action you can take that in the cause of maybe nudging yourself closer to that wonderful space?
I think using the dream itself as a portal to experiencing that again, because I can feel it. And perhaps that's the gift of the dream, and so to honor that gift, not only by sharing it with you, but also by every time in terms of invoking it when I want to do something.
Well, that makes perfect sense. Does that also involve putting yourself in a green landscape like that, maybe literally spending time in a green landscape like the wonderful one with which the dream begins? Is that part of it?
Yes, I think that would be a really big help, is just visualizing.
I mean, I think I'm not very good at vacations. You probably know this, but once a year I take a family vacation in Vermont, which means green mountain, and we're there on the shores of Lake Champlain, and we're in this green landscape. I think of that landscape and other green landscapes, and I think if it's my dream, well, maybe it does begin with making sure I spend sufficient time in a world of green. I'm now landscapes, but I also travel. Maybe that part of it is something I can physically go to and be with on my way to the rest of it. So that would be a good action plan. If you're going to come up with a bumper sticker, a phrase that una frase that carries some of the energy or orientation of the dream, what would that be?
I think I'd use the title, Create the Moment.
Create the Moment. Perfect. All right. We're talking to Adelita Chirino, teacher of active dreaming and much else. We'll be back after the break. Listen to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Mark.
all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Okay. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss, a very lively and juicily dreaming guest. Adelita Torino is a teacher of active dreaming, my original synthesis of shamanism and dream work, which I lead a three-year training. It's pretty good training. It's training leadership, storytelling, communication, and much else. And Adelita's a fine example of what it helps to promote and support. Where should we go now, Adelita? We're talking about the creative gifts of active dreaming. I mean, for me, one part of this is just walking this world aware that you're in a waking dream, that the world is speaking to you through signs and symbols if we'll just pay attention, and being prepared to receive those signs and symbols. You know the story well. I wouldn't be doing probably what I'm doing today. I had an upset under an old white oak tree behind a derelict farmhouse in upstate New York and received a message from a red-tailed hawk that came circling overhead, squalling at me in a language I might have understood but didn't at the time, and dropped a feather between my legs. And I thought, okay, here's a sign. I'm supposed to live here. It wasn't the only reason I bought the farm, but it was the clincher. And, you know, without that encounter with a natural power speaking to me in its own way, but also in the way of synchronicity, which is when the world becomes personal and seems to give you signs that go beyond ordinary logic, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't probably be doing this thing that I'm doing of teaching active dreaming all over the place. Is this part of your practice, seeing what the world's saying to you, following, you know, the vanity plate on that car, the call of the bird? What the wind is saying in the trees?
Yes, absolutely. It's a very important part. And it connects the waking and the possible other realities, dimensions that we can experience while we're, you know, while we're in this physical. I always say that paying attention to our dreams and working with our playing with our dreams, as you put it, actually helps us live twice as long. We have twice the number of experiences, twice the connection, and much more possibility. Returning, Robert, to what we were talking about, how dreams help us face the reality of death and the transition and the possibilities, I feel it's so important using the approach where we can, with active dreaming, understand that there's more than just an interpretive psychological approach. So many people that have dreams of their loved ones who've crossed over deny that they have any credibility, deny that they are, or not necessarily deny, but are afraid to invest in them until, you know, giving. So many times I've talked to them about, well, if it were my dream, I would want to feel that connection again. I would want to use that opportunity to develop the relationship, to say what I need to say or hear what I need to hear. And the transformation I've seen in people constantly when they're given this sense of the opportunity, or when they're given permission, I guess, to take this as something that is real, that is just as real as anything in their waking life, that they can pursue this, that it's, there's no dead end here, is powerful, powerful to watch.
Let me give you, you're quite right, let me give you a personal example of how life-supporting this is on this side of the veil. You may or may not know the story, we haven't talked for a while. Earlier this year, I found myself in a hypnagogic state between sleep and awake, up on a high rooftop, overlooking what seemed like a world city, great place, great location, happy to find myself a place like that. And there's my father. And I'm shocked, not because he's dead. I know he's dead. He died 30 years ago. We've met each other many times. But I'm shocked because I think he's doing something else. What's he doing right now up on that rooftop? The moment I recognize my dad, I'm transported. I'm right in front of him. He points at my upper lip. He says, go to a doctor and get that checked out. So I come out of this. I call a dermatologist the same day. I make the appointment. I have a spot of skin cancer, basal cell carcinoma, basic stuff, on my upper lip, a mole-like thing I'd ignored for nearly 3 years. Without my father, I wouldn't have gone. Without my father and the doctor's visit, I would not have had the straightforward surgery a few weeks later that removed the problem and dealt with it. Had I continued to ignore the problem, there might long-term have been dire consequences. So that's a very simple example. Now, psychologically, you could say, well, that's Robert projecting an aspect of himself who pays more attention to bodily symptoms and health matters than his preferential mind does. You could say that, and that would be perfectly good, but I believe, and absolutely have no doubt given past, you know, encounters, that my dad managed to come back from what he's doing a very long way away, which I know about because he showed me what he's doing, to give me that health warning. That's one of the ways in which we have constructive encounters with the departed. Sometimes they need help from us. Sometimes they have help for us. That's a terribly simple and life-affirming and life-supporting example from my own life this year of what it means to understand that we can dream with the departed. So, you know, that's a big-time endorsement for what you just said.
Yes, and the what I've seen is the consolation that it offers people. I think it's fine for science to want to prove things and perhaps reproduce them, some sciences, and reproduce them in a lab, but we've been taught to deny our own experience, to deny our own intuition, our own senses, and working with dreams this way reintroduces us to our own direct connections to the realities that are right in front of us, that we experience, not just in waking, but in sleeping as well, so that it creates so much more possibility, and it also assures us of the connection. And thankfully, there's a lot of work being done now to present these possibilities in a more mainstream way, that people, especially people when they're facing the last days of their lives, are often visited by people who've already crossed over who are going to serve as guides, and that they share those dreams with their caregivers and nurses and doctors. And now there's more of a sense of, let's take these dreams seriously, let's not discount them as some kind of delusion, because they help. They help so much to bridge, just like having dreams of departed help us bridge back to them and relieve some of the grief and some of the loss that we feel. And
the show is called Creative Dream, Active Dreaming for Creative Living. So much of it has been spent on creative dreaming for active dying, but there's no contradiction because it's never too soon or too late to contemplate our death and be prepared to die well. And as the Lakotas say, the best, you know, the path of the soul in dreams is the path of the soul after death, except we might add we don't come back to the body after death. So dreaming is the best preparation for dying, and if you're prepared for dying and death, you're probably better prepared for life, because as we said earlier, you can harvest and bring back courage and clarity for your life decisions from that. We're talking to Adelita Chirino, teacher of active dreaming. Go to psycheproductions.net, and you'll find that they have my video series and my drumming tape for Dream Travelers available as digital downloads. Be back for a moment after the break.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Well, we lost the call for a moment, but here we are to say abrazo, si hasta la vista. Thank you so much for all you shared, Adelita.
With great pleasure, Robert, as I've teased you before, active dreaming is it.
Okay, well, to everybody, may your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.